Good afternoon, friends. You're listening to EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. I am your host, Alka, and this is a show called Cancer Education Series. And we would like to first thank our sponsors. It's Robert Wood Johnson, Barnabas Health, and Cancer Institute of New Jersey. Thank you so much for supporting this Cancer Series Education Show on EBC Radio. And today's topic is cardio-oncology. And I tell you, when we hear the word cancer, it just like comes a big silence in everybody's mind and in the entire family. So it is very important to take care of your health, and cardio is something I think is the soul of your body, soul of your life. And it is very, very important to take care of that. And especially when you're going through the cancer treatment, the cardio is very important. So to talk on this, today we have a very renowned doctor, Dr. Partho P. Sengupta. He is the Henry Rutgers Professor and the Chief of the Division of Cardiology and Hypertension at Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School and at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. Dr. Sengupta completed his clinical residency and cardiology fellowship from Mayo Clinic, Rochester, and Arizona. He has over 250 peer-reviewed publications. Wow. He is an associate editor for the Journal of American College of Cardiology for Cardiovascular Imaging, has served as a board of director for the American Society of Echocardiography, and as a chair of the ASE Telehealth and New Technology Task Force. Prior to his role at Rutgers, he served as Abnash C. Jain Chair and Professor of Cardiology, Chief of Division of Cardiology, and Director of Cardiac Imaging at West Virginia University. He has won several excellence awards throughout the year, including the 2023 Gifted Educator Award from the American College of Cardiology. Dr. Sengupta collaborates closely with colleagues at Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, the state's only National Cancer Institute designated comprehensive cancer center, on the cardio-oncology program, which is the topic of today's discussion. Wow, doctor, such a great achievement you have done. With that, a very, very warm welcome on EBC Radio. How are you doing?
Thank you very much for having me, Alka. This is a great pleasure. I'm doing fine, great, very excited to be here.
Yeah, this is something very new. I'm hearing cardio-oncology, and I understand that, you know, the heart is so important to support for any kind of treatment. So can you tell us a little bit, like, what is cardio-oncology and why is it important for cancer patients to have access to it during treatment?
Yes, it's very important to see that cardio-oncology is a term that is pretty new. It evolved in the last about decade or so. So when I was at Mayo Clinic, we were doing some studies and the term cardio-oncology was coming. So you can see it as like the cancer and the heart at the crossroads coming together. So what happens is all the patients with cancers, as the chemotherapies were improving, they would be started on the chemotherapies, and we would find that they would have heart dysfunction. So their heart pumping function would fall down, and we started seeing that they would have cardiac problems. So it became a very curious finding, and that led to the term cardio-oncology, because it became very clear that cancer survivors would end up having cardiac diseases. Mm-hmm. And since there are common risk factors and common pathways, the heart and the cancers can get together impacted, and many of times it's because of the chemotherapy agents. So that's how the term cardio-oncology came into force. Mm-hmm. And this is now a discipline very well recognized in the United States, and there are clear ways people have these as outpatient clinics, and we do see patients who come for continuous screening and monitoring of their heart function. So that's the term cardio-oncology.
Okay, so that speaks, because I've been doing so many shows and never heard about cardio-oncology. So that is great to learn something new from you.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something This is a heart awareness month also. So every person who's got cancer or is getting cured of cancer has to take care of their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important aspect of this communication and this messaging.
Excellent, doctor. So now, who is most at risk for heart-related conditions as the result of cancer treatment?
Yes, so initially we started seeing certain types of agents, chemotherapy agents, when they are given.
Mm-hmm.
There would be an association with the heart becoming lower in its pumping function and heart failure emerging. So that's how it was initially recognized. But then we found out that several risk factors put the people at risk. It's not just the agent that causes, but if there is a high-risk individual, for example, if you have lifestyle habits, issues like smoking, or if there is obesity with lack of physical exercise, or presence of other conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, or if there is what we call as coronary artery disease, if there's blockages of coronary arteries, all of these people are at higher risk mm-hmm. of developing heart dysfunction when the chemotherapy agents are started. So in particular, if you have any of these risk factors, it's considered that you're a high-risk individual, and therefore we make sure that we screen them regularly with imaging. We do ultrasound imaging of the heart to look at the pumping function and seeing how the pumping function, if it's getting impacted, and if they have high risk factors, then you're typically at more risk of developing heart dysfunction.
Well, doctor, what I'm hearing is like from the beginning, I don't know when is that beginning, but one has to take care of themselves from the beginning of when they understand or they understand the body. They should be really keeping them into good shape, and healthy lifestyle is very, very important, because you don't know in life what, you know, stage they will bring you into some kind of a chronic disease where you have to go through these treatments, and the heart is very, very important. So physical exercise and healthy lifestyle is very, very important to maintain a good health, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, the same risk factors like obesity, diabetes also are risk factors for cancer and also the risk factors for heart diseases.
True. So friends, if you're listening to us, we are talking to Dr. Partho P. Sen Gupta, and today's topic to talk is cardio-oncology. So we are talking that when you go through the treatment for cancer, how your heart is being taken care and what are the risk factors. So doctor, now what should the South Asian community know about heart disease?
Yes, I mean, it's very interesting and important to know that the Southeast Asian community are at a very high risk of heart diseases. And, you know, there was a very interesting study. It is called as Masala Study.
Mm-hmm.
This study was conducted to look into longitudinally how Southeast Asian individuals develop heart diseases. And what they found out was the greatest risk of heart disease was in those people who adhered to the cultural dietary and lifestyle tradition. And there was a difference if you embrace some of the Western diet and the lifestyle. And there were very interesting statistics that have emerged, which has given us insights into really a very different picture of how disease evolves in Southeast Asia. The Southeast Asian community developed heart disease approximately about one decade earlier than people of other ethnicities.
So
approximately 44% to 45% people of the South Asians have normal weight. And this was the interesting finding, that there are some genetic predisposition which leads to some of this heart disease. Even if you are obese, in fact, the standard definition of obesity is slightly reduced down. If you have a little bit of additional belly fat, that's basically considered as a risk factor. And in fact, we find that not only heart disease, but there's a much higher prevalence of diabetes, high blood pressure, and some of the abnormal cholesterol-related markers that we measure in blood. And this can be present even at in people who are not really obese. So there is a genetic predisposition and heart disease comes at an earlier stage. And therefore, if you're a Southeast Asian, you should be all the time looking into activities, cardiac activity. In fact, in today's one of the Zoom call meetings, I stood up on a treadmill and I was walking while I was doing my Zoom call meeting. And actually, I would suggest that in your workplace or wherever, have some activity always, at least 20 to 30 minutes every day for at least 5 days in a week. We have to have activities because physical activity is where the body tries to burn up the fat, and you have also activities that lead to better circulation, and it burns and it reduces some of the glucose and the cholesterol products. So look at your activities, watch on your diet, particularly a very high carbohydrate diet is what we find in the Southeast Asian cultural diet. So watch out for the component of the diet, and of course watch also on the salt intake, because well, we love pickles, right, and that contain a lot of salt. So watching our diets, watching our habits is going to be very important, because we are at a very high predisposition for early heart diseases.
I think, Doctor, we have to come up with some kind of plan to feed this message to our community in their brain, so that they just get on the machines or go for a walk or start to eat healthy. It is like they know, but it's very difficult for people to start taking care of themselves.
Yes. I mean, put your television, watch your favorite television, get on the treadmill and watch it. So most of the time people are extremely worried about it's cold outside, I cannot walk outside. You can do your most favorite activity while you're walking. I'm not saying you need to run. Just walk for 20, 30 minutes.
Right. But yeah, that's, they know it's easy, it's doable, but it's just excuse after excuse. I think I see in every family, people just say, oh, I don't know how one can do, how he or she is doing, but I'll start from tomorrow. That tomorrow never comes.
Yes.
So yeah, friends, again, this is just to talk, but we all have to really be active. And as doctor said, healthy diet and exercise is the key for any kind of health. We all should be on our toes and active, do at your work, or you know, park your car far and walk to the office, or find the stairs instead of taking the elevators. Or there's so many different ways you can utilize your activities, right?
Yes. And one more secret I will tell you, which is very common known in India, you know, a little bit of meditation. So life is very stressful. It's not like you need to do some specific type of meditation, but knowing your body, sit down in a place, focus on your mind, focus on your breathing, deep breathing exercises. Some of these are very important because it reduces your blood pressure, it reduces your stresses, and it makes your mind more resilient. And you will think through better, you will feel better, you'll be happy. You know, stresses cannot go out from life, but there is a method for us to be able to manage. In fact, exercise also leads to liberation of hormones and certain molecules, which improves your perception of happiness. So you will feel more better, you'll sleep a bit better, you'll feel better. So these are all important components. And what you eat is also important. Avoid a very heavy dinner, because when you eat a very heavy dinner, it goes into your body. It's not going to be used. In fact, go towards a better breakfast and a lunch than a smaller dinner. So plan your life, you know. This is the time to plan our life.
What I say, doctor, like when you work out or do something, exercise or meditation, that is something you're doing for yourself. Otherwise, all day long, you're working, either you're earning for your family or you're working for a company or doing something for others. But exercise and meditation, these things, something I feel I'm doing it for myself, and it gives us pleasure.
Absolutely.
So one should think that, and please, guys, go and be active and choose some good exercise which really you enjoy it and do it daily basis. So now, doctor, you are known for your investigational work in using advanced technology like artificial intelligence and machine learning towards prediction and prevention of cardiovascular disease. How can this benefit cardio-oncology?
Yes, so it's very interesting. You know, the buzzword of artificial intelligence has already arrived and we are starting to use in cardiology. The one place where we are using particularly for cardio-oncology or cancer patient is in imaging. So we take ultrasound pictures of the heart, and when we take the ultrasound pictures of the heart is moving and the walls are squeezing. So we try to make the measurements. So typically in the past, we were doing these manually. We will trace the border of the heart in different heartbeats and look into how much is the size and the changes over time, and then we calculate different percentages or and come up with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of these steps now can be done by artificial intelligence tools. It can go and track the borders, automatically make those measurements. So it's become very handy. So AI tools have emerged as a very, very important method for doing what we call as quantification or doing all the measurements. Now, why is it important? Because we take care of lots of cancer patients and we do a lot of imaging studies. And when we do the imaging studies, if there's a lot of time spent in all of this measurement, there is no actually time left to really take care of the patient. So by using AI, mm-hmm. a physician is able to free up time so that he can connect back to the patient and take care of the patient. In fact, AI is a tool for doing all the low-caliber activities which the physician would not be very keen about can be relegated to AI, while we continue the higher-caliber activity so that AI can make us more human. You need to connect back to the patients, right,
mm-hmm.
and not be bogged down in the electronic medical records and in our imaging data. You have to talk to the patient. So where is the time going to come from? So AI is in my practice, I use AI for improving my insights, for improving my ability to connect with my patients. And in fact, when my patients come to see me in my clinic,
mm-hmm.
I actually use a pocket ultrasound.
Wow.
I connect the probe to the back of my iPhone, and I can see the heart directly in front of my eyes in the same visit within the first 20 minutes. And I use some AI tools for standard calculations, and I can tell the patient, look, we need to do this or that. So coming at the decision-making process rather than having the patient go back and forth through investigation and having a delayed diagnosis and management is what we want to avoid. So workflow efficiency, better human connection, more patient satisfaction is where we are moving towards, and that's how we are working towards AI. Plus, in addition, AI is also being used in research for looking into more information from the data that comes from the images so that we can understand the patients in better ways. Every single patient is different.
Mm-hmm.
So this individualized attention and individualized discovery of therapies is now also a direction that we are looking towards using some of the AI tools.
That is so good, doctor. And I'm I'm getting overwhelmed seeing that you all became doctors, I don't know how many years ago, and the technology and science is developing so fast, and you all keeping with so many, you know, updated information and bringing up such a easy treatments for the patients and diagnosis. Pretty much, you know, diagnosis is so important, and all that is now in your palm of your hand, you know, so that is amazing to see. And it is really my great honor to be talking to you on EBC Radio today, doctor. So friends, if you have any more questions or you want to know more information about the cardio-oncology program at Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health and Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey in partnership, please visit to Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health, that is rwjbh.org/cardio-oncology. Again, you can visit rwjbh.org/cardio-oncology. And we were in talks with Dr. Partho P. Sen Gupta, and he is a cardio-oncologist. So, doctor, any last tips you want to give to our listeners so that they keep themselves healthy with a heart?
Absolutely. So I was wanting to tell the heart disease prevalence we have seen with treatment is going down and heart attacks are going down. So it is our dream that we can try to diagnose conditions early and prevent them. And in fact, small tips like having activities, looking at your diet, and starting that first thing in the morning when you wake up and focusing on and making it as a routine is going to be so critical, because on those small regimens that you will plan will depend the rest of the family's peace and happiness for the future.
So it's always a good idea to plan it earlier, your few days in advance, so that you can move smoothly with your diet, absolutely, your exercise, or for the whole family. Actually, as you said, it affects the whole family.
Yes. And for everything you need a plan, this also needs a plan. So don't wait for someone else to plan for you. You need to plan it yourself.
Exactly. So thank you so much, Doctor. And it was really a pleasure talking to you, and learned a lot from you today. And I'm sure my listeners have learned a lot too. So
thank you very much for having me, Alka. This has been a great privilege. Thank you very much.
Thank you.